Welcome to Culinary Medicine Chats, where we talk with industry experts and learn about best practices and innovations in the field. I'm your host, Olivia Thomas.
So hi, everyone. My name is Olivia Thomas, and I'm co-founder of Rewire Health, and we are here today with Yadi Garcia. So Yadi, please introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. I am Chef Yadi, affectionately known in community. My full name is Yadira Garcia, but Yadi is a family nickname, and it transferred over to my community and culinary work because I feel like when I get to show up in community, I'm working with like an extended portion of my family. So I'm a natural foods trained chef by trade, and food is my tool for justice and sovereignty and connection to my community. I work on creating culturally conscious and relevant nutrition education curriculum and programming, and that's varied from everywhere to educational institutions, nonprofit, community-based organizations, urban farms, private universities, and currently I have the honor and pleasure of being with Corbin Hill as our director of programming and innovation, and that allows me to show up in a really dignified and impactful way in community to develop food as medicine programming.
Wonderful. Well, I'm so excited to talk to you about Food as Medicine and the work that you're doing. Can you tell me a little bit more about Corbin Hill and kind of overall how the program functions, your goals, kind of the mission of the organization?
So Corbin Hill, we're a Harlem-based nonprofit, and we're really focused on using food as a tool in our community to establish racial equity and food sovereignty and access, and using our community-based partnerships to shape the future that we want to see, empowering our communities of color, but also how we source our food, right? So helping to build a sustainable network of Black, Indigenous, and Brown farmers, and what that looks like in our current state and how that ties back to the food that we serve in our city. We really do think of food as medicine, but also food as liberation, food as a tool to fight and leverage policy and advocacy and equity. We're involved in a lot of work in creating an equitable and sustainable food system. And a lot of that looks like showing up in community with partnerships to directly serve our community culturally conscious fresh food that they can depend on week in and week out.
I'd love to hear more about, I know you do some group kind of culinary classes and other skill training. Can you talk a little bit more about those aspects of Corbin Hill?
Yeah, I think that the fancy term can be like culinary and like cultural competencies. But really how I like to think about it is passing down ancestral knowledge and how important it is to preserve the history of our food pathways and to honor the cultural nuances that exist, especially in a mosaic like New York City, where you come across so many cultures. So it's not just about feeding people. But one of our tenets at Corbin Hill is that our community deserves to receive food in a dignified and joyful way. So our model is often not just serving food, but showing up in community with cooking classes that intergenerationally everybody can participate in, you know, from a child all the way up to the grandparent. And how do we help to create the pipeline where knowledge is shared and accessed, and it's not something that's gatekept or behind some fancy, you know, degree letters, but how do we make that knowledge accessible? So we do programming like community skill shares where We invite all of our members to come together, regardless of what community they're receiving food in, and kind of learn these ancestral cooking techniques like canning and jarring and pickling and fermenting, which are all like all the hot, expensive food trends, but were really originated and created in our communities and ancestors. I can think about my great grandmother canning and jarring, who lived to be 99 years old. And now, fast forward to 2024, these are still healing and ancestral modalities that we're using.
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in a family where I grew up with a single mom and she did not cook. And so I did not have anyone to demonstrate those skills for me. And it really was just more my curiosity and like love for food that led me into like engaging with more training and trying to understand food in both a nutritional perspective, but also culinary. But it's funny how society produces different priorities. And we are now a product of not prioritizing food for many really good reasons. But I love how you are taking this generational approach where this normally happened in the home, it isn't happening in the home. And so now you're cultivating a opportunity for that in a community setting. I think that's really incredible.
Oh, thank you. I always say you have to see it to really feel the vibe, because there's so much joy around it. And I think a lot of times with the health inequities and disparities in our community, there can be this like fear-based talk around nutrition, or like you better do this or this is going to happen. And I love that we create these celebratory spaces that also, not only are we like preserving the food, but we're preserving the history and we're sharing it. And so when I talk about from a child to an elder, they might not be from the same family, but in that community space, you know, we're facilitating that intergenerational connection. And then the same at our distribution sites. We have, along with food distribution, we have culturally conscious nutrition education that's happening with a trained chef, who also is not doing these like super fancy like julienne or like bâtonnet, right? It's just like basic knife skills, or like how would you cook in your home with what's accessible. And I also think, having gone to culinary school, that I really love that. I just, some of my best food memories are cooking in the kitchen with my mom and my grandmother and great grandmother. And I like to think when we do these classes in community-based spaces to bring that energy to it.
That's amazing. And I guess I want to maybe go a little bit to the broader food as medicine movement. And so I know you all are really heavily involved in a lot of the food as medicine initiatives. And I would love to hear from you. What are some of the opportunities you're seeing and kind of some of the barriers you're finding within the current state of things?
Yeah, so I think in the whole food as medicine space, there's a lot of, I always say things have a rose and a thorn. And I think, you know, we've learned at Corbin Hill to kind of galvanize the thorn into the rose, because there's a lot of barriers with infrastructure and inclusion and who gets to lead these conversations on a local and national level. And who tells our stories? Often data is really extractive in our communities. It's like we're used as a case study and plugged in as a line item or a number somewhere. But at Corbin Hill, we're really challenging the narrative and trying to push against what access and sovereignty to inform, you know, research and control the stories versus is just participating as in a peripheral manner. And so it brings a lot of, I mean, challenges in the way that you have to engage and show up, because you don't want to be like the crazy people in the coffee shop. Our executive director says just kind of like tooling away at a table. But how do we build meaningful partnerships that allow that for Corbin Hill to lead as like a think, do, and share tank? So let the work that we're doing on the ground kind of inform the policy or inform the ways that we should be moving in community and providing food as medicine, and not just thinking about our community members as patients, but they're people, they're community members. And at the end of the day, food is a really powerful tool to tell stories and affect our health. But the way in which we show up and the models that we create really matter. So I think a lot of it is that we're innovating and iterating, because if you don't see what you think your community deserves, you have to go out and build it. And that can, present challenges, how to off-ramp from the current ecosystem and create your own. But at the same time, there's a lot of beauty in finding shared partners, in creating what you want to see is empowering. And I think that in the history of the communities we come from, we've never just like laid down and take it. We fight for our rights and what we deserve. And so I think we're bringing that same energy to the food as medicine landscape.
Absolutely. And for people who are listening, who are in the food as medicine space, how are you addressing data sovereignty? What are some of the strategies Corbin Hill's taking to kind of implement that into their operating and their funding mechanisms?
So I think the partnerships and the people that we're engaging with. We're building relationships with organizations like BMC, as one of our data evaluators, talking to Harvard Food Law and Policy about, for example, the Medicaid waiver is about to roll out in New York State, and that's going to be a huge amount of money for PRX infrastructure. But nobody's quite sure how those that are actually on the ground serving our communities are going to be able to partake or participate and shape what that service looks like. So I think it's really important for us in real time to advocate for like dignified food access, and that means creating think pieces, having webinars, having policy recommendations go out, even talking to like HSS and the government, and thinking through what are ideas like a hackathon or innovative ways that we could come up with solutions to the real-time problems or barriers that we face versus letting it happen and then retroactively inspecting it and saying, well, that didn't work and we wish it was different. So we're trying to like real time iterate and innovate by having partnerships that allow us to make those recommendations, by presenting models based on data. Like I think it's really interesting that we have a head of data and narrative. So it's not just the numbers, it's also the storytelling. And us telling the story, not how other people perceive it to be. So really gleaning from the iterations of work we've done from like USDA funded grant PRX work and saying this is what we want to see in the next version. We're not just going to keep doing the same thing over and over again.
And without naming names, I think you did have partners that didn't align with the same missions and goals and vision, and you've had to actually change partnerships because of that. Do you want to talk a little bit more kind of about that?
Right. I think when you any system that you enter into, there's always like there's power structures, there's rigidity or a way that people are used to doing something. So pushing against the status quo or being the innovators, you're not always the kid that people want to sit with at the lunch table. It's kind of like you have to be very careful not to put yourself into a silo. But also you have to be willing to walk away from partnerships that are not equitable and beneficial to your community. And I think a lot of times organizations can be, what I love about our organization is that we don't have this huge bureaucracy. We're small enough to say, hey, this doesn't feel good. This doesn't look good. We don't have to wait for the numbers or the conversations to run up these big ladders and come back and say, well, we can't afford to walk away from this, or we have to take this money. I think we've always been willing to say, if it doesn't feel right and if it's not a good fit for our community, it's a no from us for now, respectfully. But I do think that is also part of the storytelling, because if we keep feeding into these same systems without challenging it and being able to pivot, then we're going to continually be shackled to the same oppressive mechanisms that we've suffered from for decades.
Absolutely. And I think it's so empowering to hear kind of your story and Corbin Hill's story, because there's so many of us that want to make good choices, but it's scary. And putting yourself out there saying no, especially when funding and support can be kind of hard to come by. It's hard to say no to opportunities, but to hear that you all have done that in an effort to create change, I think makes me feel more confident to try to do that too. And so thank you for being kind of a leader by doing. And I think you are shaping food as medicine. And I'm really excited to keep seeing how you and Corbin Hill evolve and grow, because I think this is the leading body, and hopefully organizations like mine and people like me can learn from the work you all are doing. So thank you for everything you're doing.
Oh, thank you. We absolutely love being in partnership as well with organizations like yours because, like I said, you do have to scour high and low sometimes to find those partnerships and believe that they're going to come. And you don't always have to take the first thing that's served up. You know, we've also pushed back on organizational relationships and said, hey, well, not this, but what does this look like? And it's caused them to like think about things differently or try to innovate with us, which can be very scary for organizations that have done something a certain way for a really long time. But we do hope at Corbin Hill, with some of the infrastructure we're building and the risks that we're taking, that it can be a think, a do, and a share tank and space. So the idea is also that if something works, you know, we can share it out, take it, run with it. Again, not part of this like lock tower society. And how can we support other partners in other states in doing the same thing?
Absolutely. And I think that speaks to the co-design model. And I think that's like what we've done with Rewire and the technology platform. It's been this co-design process. And I think working together at every stage creates an outcome that's in line with both organizations and creates equitable outcomes, as you described. And as we keep continuing moving forward, really working with people boots on the ground, like working with communities out in the community, is the best way to kind of ensure that all of our efforts are heading in the right direction and are benefiting everyone involved from point A to point B. So again, you all are doing amazing things. Thank you so much for chatting with me, and I look forward to keep following Corbin Hill and the work you all are doing.
Oh, thank you. We could talk about this all day.
Me too. And I'll make sure to link your contact information in case anyone has questions or wants to learn more about Corbin Hill and you personally and all the work you're doing. So I'll definitely list that information.
Right, thank you.